What about shunning in the church? The answer to that and other questions on Key Life.
This is Key Life, dedicated to the message that the only people who get any better are those who know that if they don't get any better, God will still love them anyway. That teaching raises a lot of questions, so here's author and seminary professor Steve Brown, along with Pete Allinson from ForgeBibleStudy.com, with answers from the Bible that'll make you free.
Thanks, Matthew. Hi, Pete.
Hey, man. Is that game they got in the Olympics where they got that big round thing on the ice?
No, I think.
Oh, that's curling.
Yeah, that's a little bit different.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right.
But maybe, I mean, there may be some connections. We'll pursue that in detail as we answer that question when we get to it. By the way, that's Pete Allinson. As you know, he comes in on Fridays, and we answer questions, and we've done it for years and years and years. And if you want to know something about Pete, go to ForgeTruth.com. I got an email just this week from somebody that said, I did what you said, and it was cool.
Good.
So, yeah, so go to ForgeTruth.com. By the way, in the not terribly distant future, Pete's book, Like Father, Like Son, is going to be an audio version. And we'll let you know when that's coming out. By the way, we love to get your questions. You can ask a question anytime you want by picking up the phone and calling 1-800-KEY-LIFE. And then you mash the button they tell you to mash, and you record your question. And sometimes we even put your voice on the air. So anytime you got a question, dial 1-800-KEY-LIFE, ask it, and we'll get to it. Or you can send your question to Key Life Network, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. In Canada, it's Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 28060, Waterloo, Ontario, N2L6J8. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. And if you can help us financially, please do. We'll rise up and call you blessed and be as faithful with your gift as you were in the giving of it. And if you can't, we understand. Say a prayer for this ministry. But we would appreciate your help. We'd rather have the money than the prayers. But listen, no, I'm kidding. Pete, before I say anything else I'm going to have to apologize for, do pray for us, and then we'll get to these questions.
All right, let's do that. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy to us. We come to you at the end of the week as your children and just so thankful that we belong to you, that you first came after us, that you take us as we are, just as we are, but you love us too much to leave us that way. So your grace redeems us and then continues to transform us. And we're so thankful for the joy that we have and for the work that you're doing in our lives. Lord, we need you, though, in every way, in many ways, in our key relationships, with our view of money, with our view of government, with our view of life. We ask for your power and your grace to flow into us, to make us like Jesus. And then, Lord, we pray for our pastors, teachers, worship directors, leaders, priests, all those that will stand before us and draw us into your presence this weekend. And we ask for a great time of worship. Thank you for the opportunity to come back into your presence. And we ask that you would give them grace. And grace for us now, too, as we ask and answer these questions. We ask for your wisdom. Be with your people. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Pete, this first question is an email. What do you think of the practice of shunning in the church?
Yeah, fascinating. You know, it really flows from the whole issue of church discipline, but you have a story about that, don't you?
Well, we used to do a talk show here that was on a number of stations, pretty edgy, and it lasted about a year. It was a morning show, and we had a young man here who was a rock musician, Aaron Wiederstein.
I remember Aaron, yeah.
And I loved him a lot.
Good guy.
We almost lost him because when he was in college, he and some friends went out drinking, and they got caught, and he was shunned. by the faculty and by the students. Whenever he would walk down the sidewalk, they would turn their back to him.
Oh, my goodness.
And he said, Steve, I'll never forget this. I understood that. I deserved it. I didn't mind that. But a lot of those who were doing the same thing I was doing but didn't get caught shunned me, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I almost left the Christian faith over that.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful. There is a time of breaking fellowship, I guess.
Yeah, you know, Matthew 18, but it's the last step, really.
Oh, man, it's got to be somebody who's become a Satanist and making an obscene gesture to Jesus.
That's right.
And who's, but there is a place for that sometimes when you say, I can't be your friend anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could, but I just can't walk with you anymore.
That's right.
Have you ever said that to anybody?
No, I think it's happened de facto. You know, they just sort of, as a pastor for so many years, you know, they just left. They decided, I'm not going to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And they're gone, and they're out of your life, and life goes on. It is sad to have to go to those steps of intentionally cutting off fellowship, though. And it should be rare, frankly.
I think once or maybe twice in all the years I was in pastoral ministry, mm-hmm. I had to sit down with somebody and say, look, I can't be your friend anymore. Mm-hmm. I just can't, and I love you, mm-hmm. and I love you deeply. But you can't be my friend either,
mm-hmm.
because we're walking in ways that we just can't. So shunning can be a part of discipline, but as you said, it's got to be very rare. And if it happens often in the church because somebody parted their hair wrong or believed in the rapture wrong or had a doctrine wrong, no, I don't believe in shunning.
That's right. And also, Steve, you know, what we often see is that's put into place when somebody messes up one time and they're repentant. You know, like our friend Aaron, like he was probably repentant. He got caught.
He was.
He was sorry. Well, if that's the case, the Bible's unifying teaching is forgive.
Yeah.
You don't discipline somebody with shunning after they've repented.
No, we don't punish.
No.
Our discipline is only for non-repentance.
That's right.
Or if we discipline for sin.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be anybody left except me and you, and I worry about you.
That's so true.
But, you know, we live in a culture that cuts no slack for anybody.
It's gotten worse, hasn't it?
It's scary.
Yeah, in the public sector, we see now in the public realm, one party turning on its own party members.
All the time.
All the time, because there is no tolerance for stepping out of line.
Ever.
But in the gospel, we have it. In the body of Christ, and we have that. It's just the unrepentant, persistent sin that would get that third level of discipline.
Oh, that's so true. And if in our culture, as we have moved away from our belief in the Christian faith with atonement and repentance
mm-hmm.
and forgiveness mm-hmm. being at the center, if you don't have that, then you have no option.
That's right.
But self-righteousness
mm-hmm.
and canceling people when they get out of line or do something you don't like, and there is no forgiveness.
That's
and
right.
And it's pretty scary.
It is. It is.
All right. Boy, that went in different directions. What does the Bible teach about interracial dating and marriage?
As far as we know, some biblical characters married interracially. So... And it's never condemned.
Well, and it's even affirmed if you read Numbers 12.
Okay, yeah.
That's the story. I don't remember all the, you know, I'm old. Back in the days when I was a navigator, I could give you the verse and the chapter and then quote it from memory. But, you know, at my age, I don't have to do that anymore. But in Numbers 12, Moses marries a Cushite woman,
mm-hmm.
which would be of African descent.
Mm-hmm.
And the Aaron and their sister criticized, and God gave them leprosy.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, and the word for leprosy means white. So it was kind of God saying, so you want to be white? I'm going to make you really white. And then they pray for her, and she gets well. But that's as close as anything in Scripture speaks to the issue.
That's right.
And when it does, it's very negative for those who are negative about it.
That's right. And so where the Bible is very clear is we need to marry, Christians need to marry somebody in the faith. Now, that's pretty clear.
Yeah. Oh, that's different.
Israelites needed to marry Israelites, and I don't think that really applied back in that time for Moses yet, but it was given at that time.
Those
principles.
That's true.
And certainly in 2 Corinthians 6, we see what has light with darkness. And so, but that is a bigger issue today than the interracial issue, I think, is Christians
Absolutely.
Often marrying outside the faith.
And when they do, it's almost always tragic because you see either the faith is given up or the husband or the wife is given up.
Yeah.
And it's really sad. And so, again, God's word is wise.
That's
it's
right.
not trying to keep you from having fun or to keep you from, it's trying to keep you from being hurt.
That's right. Giving the guardrails of a good life.
Yeah. But on interracial marriage, then that question, not a thing.
Yeah.
And the scriptures simply do not forbid that. I don't care what anybody tells you about that. This is an email, too. We can say a word on it. What does praying without ceasing mean?
You know, I think it means start your day in a relationship with the Lord. Remember, you're his beloved daughter or son. And then just keep up the dialogue through the day. How about you? What do you think?
I'm going to say something that'll sound really spiritual. I pray without ceasing, and I didn't know I did it. I don't think when the scripture says pray without ceasing, I don't think there are five things you do to make sure that you're praying without ceasing. I don't think it's anything you can do. I think it happens. You know, it's surprising to me. I'll be driving down the street, and there'll be a pretty girl. And I'll say, Lord, she's really pretty. And then I realize I'm praying. And that conversation is going on.
It's
all
keeping
the
conversation,
Lord,
yeah.
That guy, that bumper sticker is, and I found myself
I like that.
Doing that a lot and realized that I was being faithful to Scripture. How about that, sportsman?
That's great. That's great. It's enjoying being his son and or his
that's
daughter.
Right. That's
you know,
right.
And doing life with him.
And being aware that's not something you just do for 5 minutes. It's who you are and how you're defined all the time.
Yep.
So don't try to do anything. Just see what God does. Tell him you'd like to be in a relationship with him that was a little bit deeper. We got to go.
I like it. All right.
Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.